You know, our physical core needs to be strong so that we stay well. It impacts our overall health and also helps us stand upright. And our spiritual core needs to be strengthened too, for all the same reasons, especially as we age, because we're going through a season of loss and changes and retirement and everything that comes our way. So we need to be strong.
If you are anything at all like me, and I think you probably are, you're going to love today's episode. My friend Laura Acuna lived the yo-yo dieting cycle of shame and defeat for almost 50 years. Can any of you relate? I can. Then the Lord set her free, and she's sharing her wisdom and her freedom with us in her latest book titled Still Becoming. It's a 30-day devotional. And don't you love devotionals? And I believe that a devotional to do with being setting free from eating behaviors is just what I need. So Still Becoming is a 31-day journal that takes you on a sacred journey where you'll discover true freedom and the healing and peace that have nothing to do with a number on a scale. Hi, I'm Carol McLeod. Welcome to the Significant Women Podcast. Every episode is full of stories of women just like you and me who have faced challenging odds in life, but have come out on the other side with their faith intact and their love for Christ at full throttle. Listen, you don't want to miss today's episode. And as a matter of fact, you might want to invite a friend to listen to the story of Laura Acuna, because it's a story to which we all can relate. Laura, when I asked you early in the interview, as a leader in women's ministry, what's one of the main issues that women who've chosen to follow Jesus are wrestling with? And you said identity. And I think it bleeded over a little bit into purpose, but identity. And I have to tell you, Laura, probably since I was 12 or 15, my identity has often been attached to a number on a scale or the dress size that I was currently wearing. Yes. And I didn't give myself grace. Even during those baby years, I was pregnant 10 times, had 5 living births. Mm-hmm. I didn't give myself grace when I looked at that number on my scale. And I think too many of us have attached our identity to a number on a scale when we were meant to attach our identity to Scripture.
And so our worth.
Yes. Yeah. Our worth as defined by Scripture, not as a number on a scale. Okay. So Laura, I'm going to say a quote to you that I've heard often, and I want you to comment on it, that we shouldn't live to eat, but we should eat to live. Like, how does that resonate with you? Is that true? Is it not true? What do you think?
Yeah, I would say so. And yet there is also room to eat for pleasure too. That's all part of God's gift to us as human beings. I mean, our food tastes good and, you know, and it's creative and beautiful. So, yes. And I guess what I want to say is that years ago, I went to, right in the beginning of my healing, I went to a retreat for women who struggle with disordered eating that First Place for Health puts on, called Restore Me. And I went as a participant. Now I'm on the team, but I went as a participant the first time. That's how that happens. And Gary Meacham was a speaker. She got up on the stage and she said, what would it be like if you had brain space to think about the things of God instead of thinking about food all the time? And I sat there and I thought, do I think about food all the time? I wasn't even self-aware enough to know that. And I realized I did. And I thought, what would that feel like? To have that space available where I'm not obsessing all the time. So when you say living to eat, I would say that's what I was doing my whole life. I gained 100 pounds when I was 11 and it became a problem instantly for me.
Yeah.
And so my whole life was What do I choose to eat? If I'll give you an example. I can remember as in middle school, junior high, going out for pizza with friends after the movies and standing there, and there were boys there and skinny girls and, you know, all that. Yeah. And I remember looking up at the menu over the counter and saying, I want the pizza. I'm hungry, but I should get the salad. Yeah. But if I get the salad, I'm going to be different than everyone else. And they're going to know why I'm eating the salad. And so then I want the pizza to fit in. But then if I eat the pizza, somebody's going to say to themselves, she shouldn't be eating that pizza. You know what I'm saying? It's just chaos.
Yes.
And it went on and on and on.
Oh, Laura.
Yeah. 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 And our girls are going through that right now.
They are.
I mean, even more so.
I was going to say to a greater degree because of social media and TV and all the things that our society has added to it since you and I were little girls.
That's right.
Laura, I remember, see if you remember this. Maybe you don't. I think you might be a little bit younger than I am. When I was in the sixth or seventh grade, the most famous model in the world, her name was Twiggy.
Oh, yes.
And they called her Twiggy because she was so skinny. And what that did to the mindset of the girls of my generation. And it was after that that we really saw anorexia and bulimia spike because of what our culture has done to girls. To be beautiful, you have to look this way. Well, no, that's really not true.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and when you, I mean, I really, I'm not positive because I can't go back to 1970, but I wonder if the sheer panic of a little girl putting on weight during puberty, which I was doing, the panic, the fear that was in me because of the culture and my parents because they didn't know what to do with me, didn't make it worse.
Yeah.
We've looked back on that. I've looked back on that in therapy. And one of the things I want to say to younger moms is if your daughter is naturally just putting on some pounds during puberty, don't panic.
Yeah.
Don't make a big deal about it. Wait and see. You know, don't, because the panic with me started immediately. I hadn't gained 100 pounds yet, but I'd been so petite and I had had no issues that it was shocking. And so everybody panicked. And then I panicked. And that just causes you to go deeper into your problem.
Yeah.
It snowballs.
You know, Laura, one thing I've had to learn about the weight issue is often I have used food to comfort me when there's been a hole in my soul and I filled that hole up with food. And I've learned, I think maybe in the last 10, 15, 20 years, because we all have holes in our soul, right? We all have empty areas in us to fill that hole up with healthier things, such as walking outdoors. That fills me up. Reading a great book. That fills me up. Having coffee with a friend. That fills me up. So I think, you know, you were talking about self-awareness and how your therapist had said, where do you feel it? You know, for me, it's been about, Carol, what fills you up? What are the healthy things that you can fill yourself up with? You want to comment a little bit on that, Laura?
Yeah. I'm an anxious person, you know, suffered from anxiety most of my life. I think it's partially hereditary and partially just the world we live in. And I learned during COVID, especially because I was in the middle of my treatment then, and I was getting tools, you know, to use in my life, and didn't see two of my children for a year. They were out of state, and I would start to hyperventilate. I mean, I would feel myself not being able to get a deep breath some days.
Yeah.
You know, cooped up in the house, worried about my kids and a lot of other things. And I would feel like I was going to hyperventilate, and that'll make you crazy. The last time I felt like that was when my father was dying. The same thing. I started to hyperventilate. So I went for a walk, you know, and it's like the most obvious thing to do. But I called a girlfriend and she said, come up here, let's go for a walk. It was freezing cold. It was in the middle of the winter. And as soon as I was done, I wasn't hyperventilating anymore. Mm-hmm. And truly, I didn't hyperventilate again for a really long time. So, you know, it's counterintuitive sometimes. We get anxious and we want immediate help. And a lot of times we'll turn to the fridge. We'll go get chocolate. We'll go get something and chips, if it's crunchy, whatever it is for you. But going for a walk is great for your mental health.
Yeah.
It's great for your thinking. I just learned recently it can put you into not fully, but partially into rapid eye movement, which helps you with your thinking and helps clear your brain.
Yeah.
So yes. And then the other thing that I did, if I couldn't get out and walk and do, is herbal tea. I mean, it's just a simple thing, but I make some sleepy time tea and it's got chamomile in it, which is calming. And then instead of heading to the fridge, I head to the deck. If it's nice out, I get outside and get in the sunshine.
Yeah.
You have to have tools. You have to have things in your arsenal that you can pull out and use.
Yeah. And I like how you say you can only speak for yourself. I can only speak for me, but I've had to replace bad habits with good habits.
Yes.
And the good habits are healthy and they're wonderful. They add to my soul. We'll get back to Laura's story in just a minute, but on every episode of the Significant Women Podcast, I like to take a minute and either share with you a resource or something that's going on behind the scenes in the ministry. And today, I want to share with you a resource. Several years ago, I did research on what were the issues, the challenges that women of the 21st century face. And I didn't look at Christian sources, but I went to secular sources. I read what the AMA said, Harvard, Barna, Huffington Post, and they all agreed on the top four challenges for women. They are purpose, identity, stress, and loneliness. Women, we need help, don't we? And so I wrote a book from a biblical worldview of how to tackle those four challenges. The name of the book is Significant. And let me tell you, this is a powerful book. I love, even now, going back through the book and reminding me what the Bible says about purpose, identity, stress, and loneliness. This is a wonderful book for mothers to do with daughters, for friends to gather and do together. The name of the book is Significant, and it's available at Amazon, at my website, carolmcleodministries.com, or really wherever books are sold. But now let's hop right back in to my conversation with Laura Acuna. I'll tell you right now, Laura, my listeners love books. They are bookies, okay? Mm-hmm. And they especially love a good devotional. They're always asking me, Carol, what devotional are you doing right now? So talk to us about the format of your book so that my listeners know what type of book they'll be reading when they buy Still Becoming.
Thank you.
Yes.
It is a 31-day devotional. And in the very beginning, I ask women to consider this. I say this so clearly because it is a grace-filled journey. We're going to walk away from black and white thinking and legalism, which we're so used to with the dieting mindset. So I suggest and ask women to consider giving up dieting for 31 days. They don't have to. And follow the devotional daily and see what God does at the end. And so every day there's a devotional. It's not too long, page and a half. About. And then there's a soul fitness exercise, which for me is a way to strengthen our core. You know, our physical core needs to be strong so that we stay well. It impacts our overall health and also helps us stand upright. And our spiritual core needs to be strengthened too, for all the same reasons, especially as we age, because we're going through a season of loss and changes and retirement and everything that comes our way. So we need to be strong. So soul fitness is a journaling prompt that has to do with what we've just read. And we do that every single day. In the back of the book, there's tips to find a good mental health provider if you need one. And then there's a hunger and fullness scale, which was given to me actually at one point to gauge how hungry you are. And if you're full, I'm getting a lot of feedback that that's really helped a lot of people and it really helped me. So that's in the back of the book as well.
I love it. So how long do you think a woman would spend in this book every day? How long would they need to give to Still Becoming?
The reading is 3 to 5 minutes.
Oh, great.
At the most. Yeah, at the most. And then the journaling is however long. I'm not a real journaler. Uh-huh. And so I'm more of a bullet point girl. So, you know, if you are love to journal, go for it. But if you're not, don't stay away from it. Ask yourself the question that's posed in the journaling prompt and noodle it through. Maybe write a bullet down or something, or not at all.
Yeah. Well, thank you for writing that book, Laura. Thank you for being vulnerable and helping us all on this journey. But before we go, I have two other questions for you. And the first one is this. You know, the name of my podcast is Significant Women. And so I want to know, who have the significant women been in your life?
Well, first of all, my mother and my grandmother. I mean, obviously, for a lot of us, that's who it is. Not everyone, but both of them. They're both with the Lord now. And I miss them terribly. I miss them terribly. It's so interesting. When my mother died 8 years ago, 20 years after my grandmother, I started missing my grandmother again. It was like they were, it was so difficult. But as you grieve healthily, of course, they become part of you. Their spirit is somehow integrated into yours. And so they still guide and lead me even now. And I'm grateful for that. I'm really grateful for that. And then I guess this might sound a little out of left field maybe, but Jan Sylvius. Do you know Jan Sylvius?
I do. I know who she is.
Yeah.
I don't know her personally.
So she is great. Her writing, her speaking, and then herself. She endorsed my book. She has been a great guide just through her example. And really, the first time I heard her speak, it changed my life because she was challenging us to grow up and be mature Christian women. And I knew I wasn't one. I didn't know it until she said it. But once I heard it, I thought, I need help. And so I really, really appreciate her ministry very much.
I love it. We all need big sisters in the faith, don't we?
I call her my faraway mentor.
That's great. Oh, I love it. Laura, do you have a favorite scripture or a scripture that's really guided you throughout your life?
Yeah. 2 Corinthians 4:16-18. See if I can recite it. So we're not giving up. How could we? Even though it often looks like things are falling apart on us, underneath where God is working, not a day goes by without his unfolding grace.
Oh, I love that. What translation is
that's
that?
That's the message.
The message.
The message. But I love it because it's a reminder to me. I love to give it to other women. Yes. A reminder to me that even when things are going cuckoo, that underneath God is always working and he's always creating new life. And that goes for us too.
Yes, he is. He's always working. While we're waiting, he's working. It says in Psalm 64, it says that he will accomplish what concerns me. Yes. And that's sort of been my scripture for the year, just to remind myself daily that he will accomplish anything that concerns me.
Yes.
So, amen. Well, Laura, before we go, would you pray for our listeners today, for my friends? Thank you.
Let's pray. Dear Lord, Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time together on the Significant Women podcast. And Lord, I pray for each listener who's tuning in today or another day, Lord, I pray that she understands that just as she is today, she is deeply loved and valued by you, that her worth and her identity is not tied to what she looks like. And Lord, that it is not too late to become who she truly was created to be. She has not blown it. She's not gone too far. She's not too far gone, but that she's right in a position right now where you can bring her forward, help her become the woman who you created her to be. Ask a blessing over each family and household, Lord. And thank you so much for the opportunities for clean slates and fresh starts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Laura, thank you so much for joining us today. I loved meeting you.
Thank you. It's been great to be here.
Well, if you've been encouraged by today's episode, oh, I would just love it if you would go to iTunes and write a review or give this podcast a rating. It means the world to us when our friends, when our listeners give reviews and give ratings, because it helps us on the back end of iTunes more than you even could realize. And also, have you subscribed to my YouTube channel yet, Carol McLeod Ministries? Listen, if you do, you will be able to listen to Bible studies and teachings that I've done over the years. Everything on our YouTube channel is created to encourage you, the listener, to love Jesus just a little bit more. And don't forget about our app for your smartphone. Just go to the App Store on your smartphone and do a search for Carol McLeod Ministries. And listen, if Laura's testimony encouraged you today, I'm going to encourage you to go to her website, Laura Acuna, ACUNA.com, and connect with her there. And listen, while you're there, let me also encourage you to buy your own copy of her new book, Still Becoming. This is a book that will revolutionize the way women deal with eating challenges. I hope you'll buy a copy for a friend as well. Now, before I go, I always like to share a scripture with you, a verse from the sacred pages of scripture. And today I'm going to read to you 1 John 5:14, and this is what it says. This is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us and that we have the petition we've desired of him. I'm going to encourage you today to open your Bible and read that verse on your own, 1 John 5:14. This verse is talking about prayer, and prayer is a conversation with the one who loves you most and knows you best. It's also a conversation with the creator of the universe. It's also a conversation of the one who holds all authority and power. It's also a conversation with the one who loved you so much that he was willing to die for you. Jesus has the power to topple mountains and to open the Red Sea. He's a friend who will be with you in the wilderness of life. He's going to stick with you closer than a brother. So if you have a concern today, if you have a prayer request, go to God. Read 1 John 5:14, because he will meet you in the throne room of prayer. I guarantee it. Remember, my friend, you are significant, not because of a number on a scale, but because of the one who made you and who has named you significant. I'll see you next time on the Significant Women Podcast.